Welcome to the Miracle Channel podcast. Every week, you'll hear powerful messages from world-renowned pastors that air on Miracle Channel, Canada's 24/7 Christian TV station. And if you want to watch more of their messages anytime you want, check out our online streaming service, Corco Plus. Follow the link in our show notes to create a free account in three simple steps. Today on the podcast, you'll hear a message from Leon Fontaine. Leon's teaching will help you develop your own personal relationship with Jesus and walk in God's promises. His teaching on a spirit contemporary approach to life and Christianity has helped so many around the world. His messages clearly lay out how to impact your world in a spirit-filled, relevant way. You can watch his program, Leon Fontaine, The Spirit Contemporary Life, weekdays on Miracle Channel, Corco, or our streaming service, Corco Plus. Let's dive into the message.
The Bible is a revelation of what took place outside of the public eye that is not known about the historical Jesus. All they know about the historical Jesus is where he was born, where Mary fled. We know that kings came, shepherds came. We know the testimony of angels in the skies. We know that we see him at 12 emerging for a minute, then at 30, and for three and a half years, he gave his life and died. But the Bible is filled with the revealing of what was taking place in the spirit realm while all this was going on. Why this Jesus needed to come in a human body and die to represent the human race. What happened at the cross when this all God, all man died and this physical body beat its last. And then as taking the sin of the world, he goes to hell in our place, dies in our place. The fact that he took sickness, that he took disease, that they buried this body and it rotted for days in a grave, but then it rose again. And he walked the planet in front of hundreds of people who touched him, handled him, proved it. And then he went and ascended before them and sat down at the right hand of God. This revelation is not about the historical Jesus. It is about the resurrected Lord. You see, in the Old Testament, when the Jews would sin, they simply would pass the judgment of their sin onto an animal. They would kill it, and that animal's death, the spilling of its blood, would revert the judgment from them as sinners onto an animal. And that's basically how they got the blessing of God all through the Old Testament. That's making it really simplified, was that the judgment that comes on sin and doing wrong was moved onto an animal, and that animal was put on an altar. They killed it, and it bled out, and it died, and they would be blessed for another year and protected for another year. So if Jesus, who John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," if he would have just died and that's it, we could say we'd still be forgiven of our sins. Okay? He died, and he died for our sins, and your sins are forgiven. But that still leaves you and me with this fearful, sin-motivated nature that you're continually fighting with all the time. This war going on, trying to be good, but you ain't good, dude. You got a sin nature. You got a fear nature. Jesus said to the people, he said, "You're like your father, the devil." I mean, we know it. We felt it. We've been there. That it was still, there'd have been no different than the Old Testament. Jesus just took the place of an animal, and he died for the whole world. So all of our sins are forgiven. What makes this story so special is that, I mean, the sky drew dark. Every sin, and sin in general, and sin specific, he took for you and I. And then the curse that went with every sin, death and sickness and disease and poverty and fear and anxiety and depression and everything you can imagine under the curse of the law, went on this Jesus so that you wouldn't have to take it. But now, here's the issue. If this man comes back to life, it's a whole nother story going on here. If this Jesus, in this human body, that's been nailed and stabbed and whipped and filleted the flesh right off his back, if this body that's now been dead and treated and the stone's been put over this tomb, if this man comes back to life, is a whole nother ball game. Because it won't just be our sins are forgiven as we hack along trying to still keep sin down and still trying to keep our fear down and our anxiety down and our depression down and all the desires and addictions and anger and lust and we just keep going. Well, then there's no difference whether you kill the sheep to revert the judgment or whether we kill Jesus. There's just no difference. What's a big deal? The big deal is that an angel came and took that stone away. And the Jesus that suffered in our place walked that human body out of the tomb. And they touched him and they handled him. And he ate with them and he walked with them. Why is this so important? Because he wasn't just the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world only. He resurrected and came back to life. And the whole Bible and the whole New Testament, I mean, from the old to the new, just keeps talking about this. And it shows us behind the scenes what was going on. That he literally went into heaven and cleansed the holy instruments of worship. I mean, it's just a phenomenal revelation. And it all comes down to this. So that now, when we invite Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, you're not just forgiven. You're not just going to heaven. When you die, you have a new nature. It is not a nature of fear. It is not a nature of addictive sinning. It's not a nature of anger and lust and the things that we all struggle with. This new nature is the nature of Christ. The New Testament says, you died with him on the cross. They buried you with him in the tomb. And when that body came back to life, now you got to understand, he took all your sin. He took sickness, disease, the curse of the law. But then when he came back, did he come back with any of that sin attached to him? Or any of that sickness attached to him? Or any of that curse attached to him? No. He came back a victor over death, hell, and the grave, holding the keys to hell, Hades, and death. He came back as the Son of God. And he says here that as he is, so are we in this world. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Doesn't say prepared for you to earn it. Bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. It doesn't say almost sons. It doesn't say babies with 100 years of growing up to do. It's sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. You realize that when Jesus walked the planet, even the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes who studied the scriptures their whole life didn't recognize him? Jesus almost laughed at him. You study the scriptures, and all you study about is me, and here me is, and you don't even recognize me. You know, the whole Old Testament was nothing but prophecy about Jesus. Every story pointed to the coming Messiah. Every prophetic utterance, every song that was sung, every story that was told had shadows and types that kept pointing to this Jesus, and here he is. Let's go to 1 John 4:17. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. Now, so here's this Jesus. He died, not for his sin, because he was sinless. He took your sin, my sin. Then, because he took our sin, the punishment came. And the Bible very clearly says, verse after verse, the wrath that was intended for people who sin went on him. Then it says he died in our place. But then he defeated the enemy. And he rose up victorious, and we rise with him. So you can ask yourself, oh, can I be victorious over the habits that's got me addicted? If you give your life to Jesus and you understand who he is, he's already defeated that habit, that drug habit, that sexual habit, whatever habit it is that defeats you. If it's a habitual thinking, if it's depression, if it's whatever is under the curse of the law, Jesus defeated it. And it says you and I are, we rise up with him. So as Jesus is, so are we in this world. People often wonder, okay, what if I was to ask you, what is salvation? You have the gift of salvation. What is it? Some might say, well, it's my sins are forgiven. Okay, that's cool, that's a part. I get to go to heaven. Okay, that's cool, that's a part. I get to know Jesus. Cool, amazing, that's a part. How would you describe this thing called salvation that many of you here, not all of you, but many of you have made a choice that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I've invited him in. I am saved. I am a believer. I am a follower of Christ. If we were to try to condense this into one line, what is saved? It would probably sound something like this. Salvation is everything Jesus is and has right now. If Jesus is the firstborn and we are children of God, then everything Jesus has right now, we have. Everything Jesus is right now, we is. Bad English, good point. Well, Leon, he is like completely righteous. Yeah, that's why he says that righteousness to you is a gift. Yeah, but Leon, he's got authority right now. Yeah, and he says you go and you determine the life that you want and the things you desire because I've got the keys. This Jesus, as he is, so are we in this world. So many Christians struggle with this. We've got whole denominations, thousands, tens of thousands of churches who believe miracles are done. So to them, salvation is get saved, make heaven when you die, which is huge because eternity in hell will be awful. But until then, you kind of just barely get by through life, you know, and God, he might do something for you, but he might not because God's ways are higher than your ways. God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So if you ask him something and he doesn't answer, that's usually what a religious person would do. God's ways are higher. Okay, now, let me ask you a question, and please stick with me here. This simple little message can change your world.
We're so glad you tuned into the podcast today. Here at Miracle Channel, our mission has always stayed the same, to reach every home in Canada with the truth about Jesus. But Miracle Channel's reach goes far beyond this podcast. Through our TV broadcasts, daily devotional, streaming service, and multiple podcasts, thousands of people like you are growing closer to Jesus every day. Learn more about Miracle Channel and download our resources by clicking the link in our show notes. We hope that you are blessed by this teaching today, and we want to say thank you for listening to the Miracle Channel podcast.
For you who are believers here, when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, did God, when this prayer came up to heaven before God, Lord, forgive me. Please come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. What happened right there? Not with you, I mean in heaven. Did God look at you and go, let me think about that? Is now a good time to give him salvation, or maybe we should make him sweat a little bit? You know, maybe a few years when he's older and a little more, maybe then we should answer this prayer. No, if you think about it, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. So if you're here and you are a Christian and at some point you prayed and asked him, accepted him, believed on him, there wasn't a consideration. Now listen to me closely. God can't even say no. Whoa. Leon, God can do anything. If God was to say no to a person who truly believed on Jesus and asked him in, everything created in the universe would explode because it's held together by the word of his power. And God's word is good. Every man might lie, but God never. And what God has promised, he will never back down from. What he has set in place, he cannot change. You go, sorry, he was just joking. No salvation. He can't. So, if you were to get before God and say, okay, God, I'm sorry, man. Like, I want you in my life. I want this incredible salvation. Jesus died to give me this life. I want it. When you do that, it's kind of like you've got a plug-in, you know? Like, trying to use a chainsaw, there's no power there, is pretty hard. So, in our life, it's like there's a plug-in on me. So, I back up to God's, and I just... And as soon as I plug in, boom, I'm empowered. You know, Jesus, come into my life. Bam, it's yours. It's right now. It's not a matter of heaven deliberating. So if that's the case, now, just stick with me. The word salvation does not mean saved from hell. Sorry, look it up. Go to your Bible and go to a Strong's and click on that word where it says salvation, and it does not say saved from hell. That's only one third of what it says. It says saved from hell, saved from sickness, saved from poverty, and saved from spiritual death. That's what salvation means. Well, if that's what it means, and most Bible experts would say that includes the entire curse of the law, because in Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. There is no curse for God to think about with you. So let's say I've got a petition. Yeah, God, are you okay? I'm just tired of this little sickness thing that keeps mucking with me. Like in Jesus' name, I just command this thing to go. And God is not sitting there looking into the future. Is now a good time to heal Leon's knee? Or would it be better for him to suffer, sucker? Maybe for another few years, just to teach him patience. Maybe it'll slow him down so he doesn't go too fast and hurt his family. Or whatever crazy reason people give, is that really what's going on? No wonder some of the brilliant minds on the planet don't accept Christianity. Because they go, you say he's a God of love. You say he's all powerful. You say he's got the whole world in his hands. Well, if that's the case, he's the worst manager we've ever seen. And how many babies are dying of cancer? And how many babies are dying of starvation? And you say that if God doesn't do it, he's saying no for a good reason. It doesn't even make sense. But sharp minds look at Christianity and our explanation of Christianity. They go, I don't think I want to serve a God like that. So let's go back to my story. I put in a petition to get saved. Said, I give you my life, Jesus come into my heart, and they don't vote on it. The second I believe, wham! It's this gift has just been waiting right there. Well, the same receptacle you plugged into, all the presence, the power of God, the blessing of God that's there, is there for all the promises as well. But when we add all this doubt and unbelief of, I'm not sure, does God say yes, maybe yes, maybe no, that's not what's happening. Now, I think I'm shocking some people, but when we talk about, well, Leon, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. You know, you got to be careful because that's kind of like being at the table. You're going to come have lunch with me or at the Fontaine house, and the food's here. I got the peas over there and the ham's over there, and I got the gravy over there. And I say, pass the salt, please. My son doesn't go, Let's have a vote on that. How many here think we should pass the salt to Dad? Are we all in agreement on, should we pass the salt to Dad? The reason I'm asking is not because I think they're going to vote on it. In fact, the reason I'm asking isn't even to give them a choice to give it to me. I'm asking just to keep the food moving. Okay? If I want the ham, it's over there. Can I have the ham, please? I'm not even thinking they're going to say, no. I don't get ham? No. I asked because it's there. And so when you're at the table, everybody owns the food at the table. It's given to the whole family at the table. Please pass the salt. Hey, you want some potatoes? Hey, pass me the pizza. That's great. Thank you. We're asking because it's the way we move things around the table. Asking God, speaking to mountains, all that goes on in the Christian life. Isn't this crazy? Let's ask God and let's see if he might touch our daughter. Let's ask God and let's just see if maybe he might in his graciousness and his goodness. Thou that sittest in the heavens high upon the earth and thine train fills the temple. Wouldst thou in thine glory please consider this thy poor humble servant's request. You are in the Old Testament. Now, if you want to work that covenant, good luck. You want to work the new covenant, then God wants you to believe him. It's done. It's done. As he is, so are we in this world.
Thanks for joining us today. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to hear more messages from encouraging speakers that air on Miracle Channel and Corco. Rate this podcast and write a review if you haven't already. And share this message so others can be encouraged by this teaching too. We hope you were inspired by today's message. God bless.